Can you describe what happened yesterday?
We began the day at the Human Rights Monument in Ottawa, and then we walked to the Prime Minister's office, and we entered the Prime Minister's office and were very rudely kicked out. They refused to take pictures of individuals from Labrador who were downstream of Muskrat Falls into the Prime Minister, and they were very especially rude to the Labrador Land Protectors. And so after a bit of a standoff, we eventually wound up at a delivery spot where Angus Anderson was able to deliver the Muskrat Falls methylmercury water bottles. These were symbolic bottles. And we were also able to deliver some pictures of Labrador folks who are at risk. And then we wound up on Parliament Hill, where there was a rally. Everyone from Labrador spoke incredibly powerfully and eloquently to three MPs who had actually come out to meet the group. And then by day's end, 15 of us were arrested and detained by parliamentary security and the RCMP. And we were given ban and bar notices saying we were not to be on the parliamentary precinct for the next 90 days.
What led to the arrests? Like, what were the circumstances?
Well, we had originally tried to go into the building. We were very public about it, saying we have 338 pictures of people in Labrador who are at risk. We want to place them on the desks of all MPs in Canada and ask why they are supporting this dangerous project with $9.2 billion in federal funds. And no one would let us in. They said, oh, it violates protocol, it does this and that. And we kept referring back to the fact that they didn't really have jurisdiction over this territory because this is unceded, unsurrendered Algonquin territory, and we had received the welcome and blessing of the Algonquin people to be on these lands on May the 7th, which was yesterday. So as we walked up the steps, there was a line of security who met us there, and they said, if you step off the curb, you will be arrested. So Marjorie Flowers, Eldred Davis, and James Learning all stepped off in unison after saying, you know, you leave us with no other choice. You know, we've tried so hard for so many years in Labrador to stop this dam, and, you know, we're taking a stand here at the biggest single supporter of the dam. And they were immediately grabbed by security and taken away. Marjorie, who is an Indigenous woman, was placed in handcuffed. She had her hands wrenched behind her back. We didn't realize this at the time, but she was the only individual who was handcuffed for doing the exact same thing that the rest of us were doing. And I think, you know, the RCMP were showing their colors, their racism, by targeting Marjorie for that differential treatment.
Was anybody read any rights or anything like that, or including Marjorie?
Well, what happened is once we were taken to an interior courtyard, it was a very strange and bizarre scene. They all walked with us for about 10 minutes, and we wound up in this interior courtyard in what looked like a medieval castle, and we were all sitting on benches together, and one by one they came up to us and they got our personal information, asked where we were from, where we lived, and they read a standard card saying you have the right to retain counsel and this and that, and anything you say will be used against you, that kind of stuff. And we just kept repeating the message that the RCMP should not be arresting Labrador Land Protectors either in Labrador or on Parliament Hill, because that makes them complicit in the crime that is Muskrat Falls. So we were all together as a group during the processing period. We sat with each other and we ensured at that point that, especially for the folks from Labrador, that no one was going to get a more serious charge because of where they were from or because of who they are. And when it appeared that the RCMP was saying to Marjorie that she would be charged with obstruction, we called them on it and we said, you're not charging her with obstruction. We're all charged with trespass or nobody gets charged with trespass. So in the end, there were no charges and we were just given a pink sheet that said we can't come back.
So was there any alternative to how you guys went about this? Like, do you think you had no choice but to use the methods that you did?
We have tried, both in the Ontario Solidarity Group, which has been around for 2 years, and of course the Labrador Land Protectors, who've been around far longer and been on the front lines. You know, if you look at the history of this struggle, people have attended hearings, they have written petitions, they've done research, they have done vigils, they have done blockades, they have done so many different things, and still nobody is listening. So the point of yesterday was to take it to the heart of the power behind Muskrat Falls, which is Ottawa, which is the federal government, and which is that $9.2 billion, and confront them with it. And what was really kind of a disheartening and stomach-turning sign was these three MPs who were meeting us. Yvonne Jones, who, of course, as you know, is MP for the area affected by Muskrat Falls, and then the parliamentary secretaries for the Ministry of Stolen Resources and for the Ministry of Fisheries and Oceans. And we told them that they were just to listen, not to speak. And after the Labrador Land Protectors spoke, after Angus spoke and offered them the methylmercury water bottle, they were so dismissive and so insulting and pretended as if everything was fine. And it's because of that dismissive attitude that we had to take the action that we took. Because I think the strategy of the Trudeau government, which is a very effective strategy until people catch on, is that they like to consult you to death and listen and listen and listen. But they're not really listening because they're not paying attention. Because if they were paying attention, they would be looking at the science. They would be listening to the traditional Indigenous knowledge that says this is not right. And they're not. So when governments are not responding to the needs and the wishes of those who have never been consulted, it's up to those of us who support folks in that position to take this kind of direct action. Democracy was not coming from the side of the House of Commons yesterday. It was coming from the grassroots, from the Labrador Land Protectors and from their supporters. So we absolutely did have to do that because, as Marjorie said, what other choice do we have? We've tried everything else.
Do you feel your actions accomplished what you intended?
Absolutely. There was lots and lots of media who were covering this. It's national media. It's been on CTV. It's been on CBC. It's being covered locally throughout Labrador, especially with your station. And tens of thousands of people have seen the videos that were taken. Ozzie Michelin, who's making a documentary on Muskrat Falls, was filming and spoke there as well, so that message will get out. Literally hundreds and hundreds of pictures are floating around the internet. People are commenting and sharing. So I think in many ways this was a very effective day because we did get that message out to a very broad audience. It's even been picked up by something called the International Megadams Coalition, which focuses on major dam projects around the world. And we actually got a call from Brooklyn, New York, just before the action got underway, saying we're covering this, we're supporting what you guys are doing, because we're all part of the same struggle. So, yeah, I think it worked out really, really well. And although I was incredibly sickened and angry with the racism and the dismissiveness that we witnessed yesterday, I was given great hope because I think, and I hope that the Labrador Land Protectors who are driving home today and flying home today know that they can rely on us to do what is necessary on our end going forward to continue supporting their efforts on the front lines.
Just so I'm clear on the numbers, Matthew, how many people were actually arrested yesterday?
There were 15 people arrested, and their ages, the youngest was 28, and the oldest was 92, and there were quite a few seniors, people in their 70s and 80s, who just said, you know what, I have nothing to lose here, and this is a very small sacrifice for me to make. And these are folks who are saying, we believe in this concept of truth and reconciliation, and sometimes truth and reconciliation needs to make you feel uncomfortable, because it is a difficult issue, and it's a challenging issue. And so it was really refreshing to see that spirit. And there were about 100 people on and off throughout the day who took part in the rally, who were singing songs, who were handing out flyers, who were discussing it with tourists and school tours, who were coming to the House of Commons as well. So I think on so many levels, the fact that we were all together as a community was an incredibly powerful and spiritually beautiful moment. And just hearing from people last night and this morning who are still reflecting on this, everybody's question is, what are we going to do next? When are we going back to Ottawa? So I think in many ways, this was the planting of a big seed, and it's going to sprout again and again as we continue our efforts to stop Muskrat Falls.
Since you brought it up, what are your future plans? Any more actions planned at this point in time? Or?
Well, we're going to continue to support and take our leadership from the Labrador Land Protectors, and we will be doing a debrief because it's not just what happened in Ottawa. There was a gathering in Winnipeg where they linked Muskrat Falls to a major hydro project in Manitoba. There was a gathering in Mississauga where hundreds of grade 10 students walked out of classes and made big signs saying support Muskrat Falls. There was a rally in Halifax and in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, and in St. John's. So we had six actions take place yesterday. And so I think the next step is for all of us to pull together and to have a discussion, you know, what worked, what didn't work, and how do we see ourselves going forward as a continuing national solidarity movement. And a lot of people said, you know, it would be great to link up with the folks who are resisting the Site C dam. So it's a coast-to-coast-to-coast movement that brings together Indigenous and non-Indigenous people saying, you know, it's not just one project. It's a symptom of a much larger system which is continuing to invade, occupy, and exploit Indigenous territories with no consent whatsoever. And what do we, especially as non-Indigenous people, do to push back against that and to provide a safe space so that the voices of those on the front lines are being heard and being respected?
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time once again, Matthew. I appreciate it.
And thanks for covering this, Morris. Really, really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Okay.